What's up, fam? Welcome back to the Riot. That's a little hieroglyphics to get us started off. Matt, another big weekend sports, man. Tell us what's going on in your head.
What's up, Bob? What's up, everybody? What's going on in my head is the wackiness in sports that is currently happening right now. There's so much going on this time of year in sports. You just gotta wrap your head around it. There's something every night.
It is wild, isn't it?
Every night right now.
Yeah.
Well, between... I mean, everyone's still pretty excited about the NFL season. No one knows what to make of their team. Baseball playoffs are going on.
Well, NFL's three nights a week, right? You have Sunday, yeah. Monday, and Thursday. Yeah, the MLB playoffs right now, which has been insane so far. And then the NBA is about to start here soon.
I was
soon.
Just about to talk about that, man. Yeah, because it feels like the NBA season just finished. But the whole offseason is gone. Like, before the end of the month, we'll be playing, like, regular season games that matter.
Yeah, soon. And then college football, you can't leave them out. That's now Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah.
It's all day Saturday. It's just wild. There's sports every single night. You don't really get a break, which I love, because obviously sports are what it is. But, damn.
Dope. not dope. The New Mexico Lobos... home game playing against Boise State this last weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. Lobos lost 49-21 to Boise State. We were pretty heavy underdogs. However, all of us thought we would cover. Even Scott Van Pelt, one of the main people at ESPN, predicted the Lobos to cover their minus 19-point spread, which was huge. I thought that was just cool to get a shot out that way, even though it was a pretty bad stat, because, I mean, 19 points at home is a lot. But, however, the Lobos... end up losing by 28, so Boise State more than covered, and it hurt us. Either way, back to whatever we're talking about here with the Lobos. Yeah, frustrating game. They kind of threw the ball all over us. We couldn't stop their quarterback and the receivers. It was rough.
Yeah, man, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch it. I had to work, but I kind of heard they took over right away.
Well, it was 7-7. It was 7-7 in the first quarter. You're like, oh, damn, Lobos. This is going to be good for the Lobos. You know, national televised game. Let's get it going. And then they rolled off a 42-7 lead at halftime.
That is, it was that 45 bad. 45 touchdowns in the second quarter?
It was crazy. No, it was in the first quarter, too. Okay. It wasn't the end of the first quarter. But the reason why, I mean, the Lobos kept playing zero coverage. So zero coverage means you have straight man coverage. You're blitzing. There's no help. DBs have no help. You're supposed to get to the quarterback fast. However, that wasn't happening. And our DBs could not cover Boise State one-on-one. It wasn't even close.
This seems like a recurring theme with our defense. Our DBs are not able to make the coverage that we're expecting them to or something like
that. Our secondary has been torched all season. They absolutely torched.
Yeah.
I mean, we made that Boise State quarterback look like he was a first-round pick.
And he's not.
Yeah. It's frustrating, but... hey, I mean, what can you say? Boise State's a really good team. Not taking anything away from them. But
so I was listening to the Bob Davie press conference, and I want to hear what you think about this. So Bob Davie comes in to the press conference and talks, trying to highlight some positives from the game, and he says that the Lobos were able to win the second half of the game. I don't know. What's your opinion right there?
I mean, yeah, as a coach, it is something to find a positive, right? We outscored them 14-7 in the second half.
Okay.
So, technically, we did win the second half, right?
That's pretty good. But you gotta find some way to stop the bleeding somewhere before you go on a...
don't get steamrolled in the first half.
What was it? A 35-0 run? Something?
Yeah. It was 7-7.
My God.
I'm not gonna lie, Lobo Faithful. I was a little embarrassed to even say this. I left at halftime.
Oh, a lot of people left at
halftime. I was freezing. I didn't bring a jacket. Like an idiot. Okay. And anybody who's at this game, I think they would completely understand what I'm saying. But it was windy as hell. It was freezing, Bob.
I'm telling you, man, I work at a bar that people go to after Lobo games frequently, and the rush started after halftime.
Nice. So Lobo's losing early made you more money, maybe.
Probably. It was an interesting weekend, but I was disappointed to hear... when they told me it was 42-7, I was disappointed that that was the score. And then when they told me that was the score at halftime, I was overly disappointed. It was a shame, yeah. But it was a it turned into a good night for me. So, but I would have gladly sacrificed that to have a more respectable football game or
respectable. That's a good word choice. Yeah. It's just respectable. That's God. I mean, that team—they were a very, very good team. They're undefeated for a reason, but it's respectable at home.
Yeah, you know what? Well, you know what? It sounds to me like we played almost three quarters of good football. Not true.
We played the first 4 minutes of first quarter, and then I didn't see a lot of the second half. But
sounds like there's probably a good chance we were playing against second teamers in the second half, anyways, right?
Yeah.
Like at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a coach, like Davey said, though, Davey, you got to shoot for the positives. You're a coach. You got to try to build on something. That's the key to a football season. Week to week, you build on something, regardless of what it is. You have to build. And obviously, it's not building good enough for Lobos' defense right now. But
yeah, you can't just tear your guys down every week and tear your team apart every week. And I mean, you can't give up, right? Like, there's no...
No way.
And honestly, there's no real reason to give up at this point. Like, we haven't got our big signature win yet, but our record isn't too bad, and the season's still redeemable. We got some...
We're 1-1 in conference.
Winnable games coming up also.
So, this weekend, right now, we play... Air Force,
yeah.
You know what the weird thing about this game, though, Bob, is we play at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
Air Force versus UNM at the Cotton Bowl.
So this is a home game for the Air Force, if I'm not
correct.
Mistaken,
so Air Force
right?
is so, sacrificing
so
a home game.
They're not playing in front of their student body. They're instead going to play... in Texas at the Cotton Bowl. What is that, like 100,000 person stadium?
Like at least like, 80.
It's insane. You're
well, right. The Cotton Bowl just hosted.
Are people going to show up to that game?
I guarantee you there won't be more than 20,000 fans there.
There won't be more?
No.
Maybe some type of patriotism? Maybe people show up out of support the troops or support the...
Hey, that's possible. Man, that's a good point. Man, that's possible. Still, that's a way too big a stadium. I think it's going to be crazy. And Texas just played Oklahoma in that stadium last weekend. Wild game. Oklahoma beat Texas. High scoring affair. But that is a big rivalry, and they packed it, sold out, 80,000 plus. And now you're going to Lobos versus Air Force, which is giant stadium. I'm predicting no more than 20,000 people.
So that place is going to feel like a ghost town.
Correct.
You could have your kids run the bleachers, stairs like a high school game or something like that. Like a not good high school.
You know what this reminds me of? When I played at San Diego State, San Diego State was good. They had Ronnie Hillman. They had all these things. But we were playing at Qualcomm Stadium, the San Diego Chargers Stadium.
Yeah.
It was just way too big. It was way too big of a stadium for the game we were playing.
So you're saying you played Ronnie Hillman?
Yes, I played against Ronnie Hillman.
Right?
Yeah, and what's his name? The quarterback that played for the Cardinals for a while. I'll think of his name.
Barkley?
No. He played San Diego State, played for the Cardinals. I'll think of his name. But anyway...
Tell me a Ronnie Hillman story.
Had him one-on-one on the open field, luckily.
Okay.
This was before my starting days. I was special teams.
Oh, all right.
So
was Ronnie Hillman, was he returning kicks?
Anyone
not familiar, Ronnie Hillman was a running back for the Broncos last year. This year, I think he's playing for the Minnesota Vikings. Small, fast, strong. Maybe he's pretty small for an NFL running back. He's like 5'9", 170, 180 maybe.
Yeah, he's not a big dude at all.
But extremely fast.
That was his thing. He was so fast. And his vision, and for a college level, his vision was great.
Yeah.
Ryan Lindley, that was his name. The quarterback for the Cardinals. Ryan Lindley, he played as well. But either way, back to it. My point of that was, though, that the stadium was just so damn big. You had all the, like, this game... And you have less than half the stadium filled. It feels like there's no noise. For a visitor's team, that's nice. But it just doesn't make sense that Lobos and Air Force playing in Texas. But we all know the reason for it. The reason why they're playing there is for recruiting. That's solely the purpose of this game. Is so UNM and Air Force can bring recruits to the game. And, well, the home team can host more than the... So the Air Force technically can host more. However, Air Force and New Mexico recruits a lot of the same players. So... It's just, it's all for recruiting.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm sure they got paid some money, too, to be on ESPN as well.
It's going to be on ESPN. They're going to be playing in a stadium that's not going to be half full. They're bringing recruits to the game. Luckily, the Lobos didn't have to give up a home game. So it sounds like a great situation for the Lobos, honestly, because they didn't have to give up a home game on their schedule.
Yeah, it's way better than playing at Air Force. Yeah. We have better odds.
Yeah, and then yeah, it's not even a true away game. We have a good chance of having as much support there as Air Force. I expect them to have a little bit more support, but should be interesting to say the least. And then we also get close to a fair share in the recruiting business that's hopefully going to help us get players for the future.
Exactly.
So, win-win-win in my books, and chance to upset the Air Force.
Air Force is coming in 4-1, 4-1. They are 71% chance favorites to win this game, and they are 14-point favorites as of this point.
Ugh.
I mean, Air Force technically hasn't played a lot of big people, but they beat Navy.
Okay.
And if you didn't see last weekend, Navy beat Houston, number 6 team in the country
Beat Houston.
Air Force beat Navy. I mean, Air Force-Navy, that's a rivalry, though, right? You have two military schools battling each other.
So if we were going to say if Houston was on our schedule, I would freak out. I'd be like, that is not good for the Lobos. Like, I would expect an ass-whooping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so are you looking at that and looking at the chain of reactions, as you might say, with
no, I don't look. I don't read into any of that stuff.
Maybe we can't beat Air Force, or maybe it's just one football game and we're set. We can do it.
I don't read into any of that stuff, honestly, Bobby. I just think it's all about a lot about matchups, and you don't know what's happening in the events of that game. So I feel like it's hard to say. However, I don't know. I don't read into this. Air Force lost to Wyoming last week. I mean, that kind of explains it all right there. That sums it up.
Okay.
Is Wyoming great? No. But they lost to Wyoming. So.
Interesting. All right. I think we got – tell me that stat you were telling me about the rushing.
Yeah, so just one little thing here. So I was looking at just some stats for this game. And it was going to the rushing, right? Because UNM versus Air Force now, they both run all these options. It should be a really fast game because the clock's always been moving and a lot of rushing yards. However, UNM is averaging 354 rushing yards a game.
That's
and perfect. Air Force is averaging 280.
Okay.
However, the stat that was wild to me is that the leading rusher for Air Force is DJ Johnson. He has 329 yards. The leading rusher for the Lobos is Gibson. He has 399 yards. You know the big difference is here, Bob? DJ Johnson for Air Force has 73 carries. Gibson has 31 carries.
So those stats, I'm not sure that the stats for Johnson are bad, but those stats for Gibson are remarkable.
31 carries, 399 yards. That's over 12 yards a carry. Give him the ball more.
Yeah. Why doesn't he have 73 carries or 103 carries or something?
Well, he was out for a little bit. But either way, he should have more carries. He should be our workhorse. DJ Johnson has 42 more carries and 70 less yards on the season.
So what's the deal? What do we when we go down in games, do we stop running as much?
Well, we filter through running backs so much. We have so many different running backs getting the ball. But I think it's evident that Gibson is our best player on offense. We need to give him the ball as much as possible. Get him in the open field. He's so fast.
Yeah. Ridiculous. I did not realize he was averaging 12 yards a carry. That's remarkable.
Yeah, at 30-plus carries. So that's a large sample size.
Oh, big enough. Big enough to be like,
well, he can take it to the house any play he wants.
I'm not any play he wants.
Well, I mean, any given play, he has the ability to take it to the house.
Yeah. You give him the ball, and there's a chance he could take it to the end zone. So,
well, any last thoughts you have on this game, Bob?
I feel like I would not be at all surprised we even up our record after this, and it's a good game for us. Good opportunity for us. The matchups is pretty good. And I think Lobos, I'm not worried about it, honestly.
Like, you're not worried about it? You think Lobos going to win then?
I think they definitely could win.
Well, you should be worried then if you're saying could.
Well, we're not favored to win, so of course I recognize the potential to lose. But I think if we are going to come up with that upset victory that we need, this is a great week for us to do it.
I agree. I think it'll be close. I mean, gosh, damn it, Lobos. Put a good game forward. Defense, come on. Rally to the ball, read your keys, and don't get beat on these big plays. Air Force is known for running all these play-action gimmick plays and having the one of those receivers go out for a deep pass. Happens all the time. Because you know what? The tricky thing is, so but one quick thing on this Lobo game, how they play. So they run the triple option, Air Force, right? So they have two halfbacks that are lined up like by the tight ends, and then there's one halfback right behind the quarterback with the quarterback under center. A lot of times they snap the ball. They'll run like all these options, right, left, stuff that way. But the tricky one for a safety, as my perspective, is they'll run this little option to the right, and the tailback that's lined up on the right side behind the tight end, he'll go act like he's coming to block you. He acts like he's going to cut you. So it's even harder. You got to protect yourself. Then he goes off for a pass. That is a very tricky play. So DBs, read your keys. Linebackers, read your keys. That's how you beat this team. Disciplined football. Air Force, just like New Mexico, wins by one person not doing their job. Boom. Big play. Read your keys. But anyway, that's going to sum up our Lobo talk. And we're going to transition now to a little Major League Baseball.
Man, it's been exciting.
It's been insane. It's been insanely good. Like, the Cubs beat the Giants last night after coming back from 3 runs in the ninth inning. And the game before that, wild game too. The Cubs took a 3-0 lead when you had Jake Arrieta pitching against Madison Bumgarner. Two of the best pitchers in the game. Arrieta, the pitcher, hits a 3-run home run off of Bumgarner. The pitcher hits a 3-run home run off the opposing pitcher. Arby, the best pitcher
in postseason history. That's got to get in your head a little bit, huh?
It's insane. But you know what happens?
Did Bumgarner in that situation? All right, tell me what happens.
What happens? The Giants come back and win.
Okay.
It's just crazy. Like, the series was nuts, but the Cubs closed it last night in game 4. And it just seems like their magical season is still thriving.
That was pretty much a must-win for them last night, right? Like, yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want it to go to Game 5.
All the pressure would have been on them in Game 5.
Yeah, that's right. And just last-second heroics. I think the pitcher for the pitcher for the Giants was in there for what?
Yeah, we'll get into Matt Moore here in a second. But just going off of the Cubs just for a second longer, they don't want to go to a Game 5. They'd had all the pressure in the world on them. They would have had all the media, everything, and just that tense feeling. And
everybody's got the feeling like this is just the same old Cubs.
Exactly. Right? They're going to blow it.
And
this is the same old Giants of this last decade that just wills themselves through everything. Going into this game, they won 11 straight elimination games.
Really?
That's just freaking mind-boggling. But anyway, the Cubs got the win. And for the one thing why I'm going to say this postseason has been great so far is that I actually was glued to a game. I was glued to that game last night and the Arrieta Bumgarner. Glued to the game because I was so interested and it made my emotions go up and down. Baseball never does that to me. So this has been a really good postseason. But going back to what you alluded to, Bobby, Matt Moore, controversial thing, Matt Moore was pitching a straight gem for the Giants. One earned run over 8 innings. The overall box score was 2 runs. One of the runs that scored was not earned. And he gets pulled going into the ninth inning. The Giants had to go through 5 relievers trying to find a solution to stop the Cubs, to stop the bleeding. Not one reliever was able to solve it. The Cubs end up scoring 4 runs in the ninth inning to win the game.
New Mexico native Matt Moore. How do you think he's feeling in that situation? How's he feeling at the end of that game?
Disappointed. Insanely disappointed.
Mad at his manager?
I don't know if you get mad at the manager. I mean, it was over 100 pitches, but your bullpen sucked all season, Giants. That's why you're in the position you were in. They would have been way better if their bullpen wasn't good. Their bullpen sucked all year. Matt Moore's pitching a gem. Throw him out there at least to see what happens. You have a 3-run cushion.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Managing in baseball is one of, like, the trickiest situations in the world. Like, I don't know. You leave him in there and you lose the game. They critique. Pretty much you lose the game, you get critiqued, right? Exactly. Like exactly. How are you going to know? How are you going to know what's going to happen? There's rules that you tend to play by. They're trying to keep this guy in there. And then eventually he gets to a certain pitch count, and there's just the trend is you have to take the guy out of the game at this point, right?
Yep.
And then it just blows up in their face.
It's just wild, man. And you kind of alluded to this. I was pretty damn excited because Matt Moore, he's from New Mexico. He's from Albuquerque. He went to high school at Moriarty High School, which we have a lot of friends that went there. We grew up really close to that high school. And so he's the local homegrown talent.
I was on like a district line. Where I grew up was a line where if I decided to, I could have gone to either school and technically been in my district. Like, I could have gone to Moriarty High School or Manzano High School.
Could have went to high school with Matt Moore.
Yeah. I mean, we would have been best friends. Maybe I'd be living the...
Maybe just bumming off of him.
Right now. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Instead, I'm here doing the Rametown riot.
Well, we always thought we would do that off our buddy Jesse Paulson, who played at
OU. That's what I made an offer to him, dude. I was like, look, Jesse, I'll be a part of your entourage whenever you become a pro football player. But he didn't come through.
What the hell, Jesse?
Yeah. Jesse, Lucas, Rametown.
Yeah. My physical capabilities were nothing compared to Lucas and Jesse.
Agreed. But I feel like...
Lucas is the best football player I've ever played against, first of all. 6'6", ran a legit 4'5", 4'6". He was awesome.
Lucas is a monster.
Jesse Paulson, he went to OU's Pro Day. He had a whole article written about him on how athletic he is.
Couldn't turn it in, I guess. What about you? You think you had a legit chance at going pro?
Since I'm an engineer, I think I had about a 0.5 chance... Or no, I'll say about a 5% chance to make a mini camp. Then after the mini camp, about a 0.5 chance to make a team.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I mean, I got a million. You know, it was pretty wild. I'll never forget, but I got my first letter for a big training facility to train for the combine, which I wasn't invited to the combine, but train for your pro day. And I thought I was just kind of like a surreal moment. Like, what the hell? This is kind of real in some sense.
Well, you were a hell of a safety, man, in college. And I mean, I know this isn't a story, like, you're not a guy that likes to brag about himself. But I'd like to, while we're on the topic, we might as well kind of let the listeners know a little bit of Rametown history. Why don't you tell?
We're just getting into Matt Moore. We have to jump on the media. Matt Moore's the one local kid freaking pitching in the playoffs.
Matt Moore's big time. No doubt. But I want to ask you some questions if you got time for this.
You want to jump straight into it now?
Then we'll come back to Matt Moore. We'll come back to Matt Moore. We'll talk more baseball. But I want to hear about what your high school coaches told you and what your college coaches like. Could you just tell like a little 2-3 minute abridged story of the first like 3 years of your college football experience?
Rough. Yeah. I mean, well, first I had, God damn it, I hate doing this. Okay, so I had Rocky Long as my first coach as a true freshman, and you know, he's the hard nosed guy, and I was just went on through the walk on training there, and Rocky Long's walk on was not like, oh, go run a 40, go do this and see what you can do. Hell no. Rocky Long's walk on training was arguably the hardest week of my life. The reason being is that we started like 70, 80 kids. I don't know, whatever it was. And 6 a.m., toes on the line, on the goal line, right on the practice field. They don't put you through. There's no ball. There's no scheme. There's no football. It's hell. That's all it is.
What do you do?
What do we do? We do bear crawls, 100 yards. Lunges, 100 yards. Sprints. The worst, log rolls. Go log roll 100 yards.
Was that even
miserable? You like laying on your side and you roll like you did when you're a kid down a hill.
Ugh.
It's miserable. You're gonna throw up. People did throw up. Then you know what you do? Hey, let's go to the weight room. Let's go squat and then come back out and go do these log rolls. and all these things. Let's do walking lunges with our arms held up spinning for 100 yards. It was brutal. It was honestly awful. And the second day, it dropped down to 20 people. After the first day, like 50 people stopped.
Okay.
It was brutal.
Yeah, so and, everyone quits.
But I'm not going to lie. There's a little part of me that loved it. I love challenges.
Yeah.
I
can see that in you. Yeah.
Challenges.
You're not going to get broken.
And okay. I wanted to get first in everything. Always. Okay. And there's one other guy there from Las Lunas. Freaking athlete, too. This guy was insanely gifted athlete. He couldn't quite get on the field. Mental side of things on the field quite as well. But insane athlete. So me and him were competing like crazy. And he would beat me in some. I'd beat him in some.
What's the guy's name?
Abdullah.
Okay.
Something like, gosh damn, I should remember his name. I hope he's not listening.
Okay.
He was a buddy. He was a really good guy. I haven't seen him in like 5 years, though. All
right.
But anyway, so we did that, and I actually liked it. But overall, so what happened, we go through this for a week, and the guy that runs it is Joaquin. And anybody that has any affiliation with Joaquin knows him as being just such an intense guy. He was intimidating as hell. We were all scared shitless of him. And he was the guy that wouldn't ever scream. He wouldn't do any of these yelling things. You know what he'd do? He'd cross his arms and just stand over you and like glare at you. And not really give you any praise ever. And you were never sure what he was thinking. And it just scared the hell out of us. I'm really good friends with him now. He was a great, one of the best Olympic lifting coaches in the nation, actually. Trains a lot of people. But, yeah, so I did that for a week. It cut down. 7 players made the team. And I ended up being the only one left to finish, to actually graduate the whole time from my walk-on class. But our buddy James Montgomery made it as well. He played for like 3 years. But then, I don't know, I went through the hell of being on practice squad for numerous years and made my way to special teams because I would block the shit out of people and they would get mad at me. So I made punt returns, my first special teams ever. First play ever was against Air Force. Or no, it wasn't Air Force, it was BYU, sorry. BYU against these Mormons that's 27 years old. This guy was, I was on punt return, I'd have blocked this guy. He was 6'5", 260. My first play ever.
Whoo! At the time, you're probably, because you're what, 5'9"? Like 5'9"?
Buck 80. 10? Yeah, 5'9", a buck 80.
5'9", a buck 80. All right. So, the punt was almost twice your
the
size.
The punt got shanked him out of bounds, thank God.
There we go. There we go. So you're matched up with a guy who's about to destroy you, and thank God it goes
this
out.
This guy was huge.
Yeah, massive.
It was so funny, though, because one of our friends, I don't know if anybody followed before, it was like Joe Stoner and Freddie Young were the other same guys in my class next to me on punt return. And we were counting down the line, like, okay, I got number 4. Which one's number 4? I'm counting. And I go, hey, Joe, which one you got? And he says, I was like, and he goes, you got him. And he laughs at me. He literally laughed on the field at me saying, you got him, because he was so big.
All right, Matt. So just another question for you. So you, I think your high school coaches weren't very confident in your ability to be a college football player. Is that right?
Not necessarily. They encouraged me to come on. I don't know if they necessarily thought I'd start and be a player, but they didn't think I couldn't.
Okay. All right. And did you ever have anyone tell you along the lines of like, we don't think you'll have an opportunity to be a college football player or be a starting college football player?
Yeah, like 3 years straight in college.
3 years? they just keep telling you that?
I had the D coordinator straight up tell me, you're too slow and you're not going to play.
Wow.
On defense.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, that sucks. I'm on scholarship already at this point.
Okay. All right. So, I wasn't gonna quit. That makes it easier to not give up because you're already a scholarship player.
Yeah. I mean, well, before that, I wasn't one, and I was getting so frustrated. It didn't matter what I did. You know those Locksley years. People in Albuquerque know this. There was turmoil like hell for 3 years in that program.
Yeah.
2.5 years, I guess. But, yeah, a lot of weird stuff was going on. And, hey, I stuck it out. It ended up being the best time of my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Matt, man, like I said, you're not a guy that likes to brag about your achievements or anything. But everyone in the whole community was proud of what you were doing. Like when you made that, I mean, you were one of the leaders of that defense, and it was a respectable team. It was awesome, man. It was cool watching you.
I appreciate
cool
it,
Bob. Watching you. So
we got a little sidetracked here. Let's get back to
sports. I just wanted
back to Matt Moore, another local kid.
All right.
Absolute beast. Let's give him a final shout out. I actually saw Matt Moore like a year ago at Sandia Golf Course.
We've told this story on the podcast.
Yeah, he was cool as shit.
Matt Moore's the man.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. But anyway, shout out to Matt Moore. Good job. Also, just go real quickly to the MLB. Is the Cleveland Indians swept the Boston Red Sox to open that series.
After LeBron James's inspiring speech in the home game.
He did give an inspiring speech. LeBron
James came out there and rallies the troops, and they end up sweeping. Pretty incredible things going on in Cleveland.
This is for you, Cleveland!
Year. Yeah.
Yeah, that LeBron, what the hell is happening in Cleveland right now? This is just ridiculous. They don't win forever, now they're all suddenly sweeping the Red Sox when they were heavy underdogs?
I thought the Red Sox were going to make the World Series. It's crazy.
So did I.
Yeah, yeah. Nuts.
Yeah, their pitching was fantastic against one of the best lineups. But David Ortiz's career is over. Any little quick thought you want to say about David Ortiz?
David Ortiz is the orchestrator of my least favorite moment in baseball history.
Wow. Yeah. I want to hear this story.
Oh, dude, it was just...
What?
They're going against the Tigers in the winner of the game is going to go to the World Series. And you might remember this a little while. So the Tigers are up 3 runs, and David Ortiz comes up to pitch. Bases are loaded. Coming up to bat, bases are loaded. And every bit of me knew it was the absolute worst guy to have up there. I even wanted him to walk him. And give, because if we, that it's 2 outs, end of the game, bases loaded, we're up 3 runs. I wanted to just surrender a run and just say somebody else beat us. Grand slam home run to end the Tiger season. I thought we had a good chance at winning the World Series that year. So it was a tough month. I mean,
he probably
broke a lot of hearts in his career. Man, he's one of the best hitters of our generation, and he's a great player from everything I've seen from him. He's a great guy to be around, and a ton of fun. It's a bummer he's not going to be out playing baseball anymore. It's been a ton of fun to watch.
I think your story sums up the two things of David Ortiz in my opinion. Well, the story sums up one of them. The number one thing I think he's been known for is he was clutch. He was so clutch in postseason, and just when the things were on the line, he always came through. And I just think that's going to be one of the biggest things. And secondly, is his influence in baseball in general. Being from the Dominican Republic and all these things, and he was just such a well-liked person, and he meant so much to Boston. I just think his influence on baseball is tremendous. So I mean, I just give a big shout-out to Dave Ortiz. We're going to miss him like crazy.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on with our show. We're going to introduce a new segment.
Brand new segment, people. Yeah, let's go.
That we've both been talking about, and we're excited about it. Matt and I both, we have a lot of knowledge of ridiculous moments in sports history. So we are going to start playing for you some ridiculous audio segments from history, and we're calling it our Ridiculous Riot.
The Ridiculous Riot.
Here we go. I'll give you a little preface on this one. This is a post-game interview for T.Y. Hilton on the day that his daughter was born. Let me pull it up real quick.
Just go for it.
Well, T.Y. Hilton was working on very little rest as the Colts got the chance to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he had over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown. T.Y., you said you wanted to score a touchdown for your new daughter, Gigi, and you got that done today.
Oh, yeah, you know, very much the game for me, you know. little bit of rest. I've been up since 4-5. And I just came out here, gave him all up.
And way to go, man. I'm proud of you. Don't be afraid to cry, too. It's all right. I cried when my babies were born, too. Great job. Yeah, what was that like trying to prepare, rush into the stadium today, going out of your normal rhythm? How'd you feel when you finally just ran out on the field today?
Oh, you know, it's getting very emotional. I ain't had no pause in my body. I've been with my baby girl the whole time. I just wanted to give my all and play this game for her.
Way to go, man. You did that.
That is a ridiculous riot.
I don't want to poke fun at T.Y. Hilton because he seems like a great guy, but just the sound on that.
He sounds like a reverend at church.
I ain't got a bone in my body.
I ain't got a bone in my body.
Been up since 4-5 in the morning. But I mean, great guy. Just
seems like he cares enough. It sounds like a great parent. He cares enough. But also, his daughter's name was Gigi, and I thought that was kind of funny too.
I don't know what's funny about that. Is that like an inappropriate name or something?
Do you think they spell it Gigi?
Matt, we know there's a cultural difference in the way that people name their daughters between white people and black people.
That is not where I was taking that in any part.
Well, what? I mean, they're not gonna have like normal, like not everyone has like names that you consider to be normal in your culture. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of funky names now. My girlfriend works as a teacher at an elementary school, and some of the kids in her class are just insane. Like the names are just all over the place.
Do you know any of them?
Not at the top of my head, but she says them to me, and I just can't remember them because they're so.
Maybe another day.
I couldn't spell them. That's for damn sure.
Charkandrick. I mean, we're familiar with ridiculous names in sports, right?
Yeah, well, plus we're from New Mexico. You have all kinds of
T.Y. stuff. T.Y. Hildman is a stud, dude. He blew up for you this weekend in some fantasy.
Won me some money on DraftKings this weekend.
All right, man. Well, let's transition. I want to talk a little bit about some big stories going on in the NFL. The number one thing that I feel like might be intriguing to you, your favorite NFL team, 49ers, going through shuffling around at quarterback, and I don't know kind of what your feelings are about it and what you think might happen. What are the implications?
Colin Kaepernick is named the starter against Buffalo this week, week 6 in the NFL.
You sound disappointed.
No, I'm not really disappointed because I feel like at this point, Gabbert was not getting it done. Gabbert was not getting it. They're the 31st ranked. I thought Gabbert
was better than that. Yeah,
they're the 31st ranked offense in the league.
Yeah.
So they're bringing in Kaepernick. They're paying Kaepernick all this money. Let's see what they have with him, right? Can he make this work? However, my position on it is not going to make it much of a difference. The team's still going to suck. I'm a diehard loyal fighter.
The team is going to suck, and I think that in this move, they kind of. Because Kaepernick agreed to a restructuring of his contract.
Correct.
To take away the guaranteed money in the future, and he's pretty much going to be a free agent after this season. So this is kind of a move for them where they want to see what they have.
Obviously, this is an interview process for Kaepernick.
Yeah, for the 49ers and for the rest of the league.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I think Kaepernick is a better overall talent than Blaine Gabbert.
Much better talent. Let me make this thing clear to our listeners real quick. The reason why Kaepernick did not start the season and has not played yet, the main reason, in my opinion, and I think most people would agree, is he wasn't physically ready to play yet. This guy had 3 surgeries this offseason. He lost a lot of weight, a lot of strength, and he had to get back into physical shape. When he was at his best, he was a physical specimen out there. There wasn't many quarterbacks ever to be like him.
Yeah.
He weighed 235 pounds and ran like a deer.
He made like a 95-yard touchdown run one time. Like, the dude's nuts. Yeah.
Against the Chargers. I remember that. Yeah, it was insane. But also, so that's one thing. He's still not back to his old playing weight, though. He's still not there as he used to be. However, he's gotten better. Obviously, I'm a Niners fan. I root for him. However, I just don't think – I don't have – I watched him last year. He was awful.
Bad last year. Yeah,
he was awful.
Did he get taken out of the game and replaced with Gabbert because of injury or because of poor play?
Both.
I think it was poor play,
both.
Wasn't it?
It was both.
Okay. Because I'm pretty sure – and Gabbert didn't look as bad last year as he's looked this year.
So one, let's just go over some of these. So in a pretty similar sample size, Kaepernick last year versus Gabbert this year. Gabbert this year has 890 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Not good. Not good at all. So Kaepernick last year, there's more number of games in this, but not by a lot, had 1,600 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So a little better TD interception ratio, but not much better. And I just think that I don't think people are really making that big of a deal. The only reason people are making a big deal of it is because of this kneeling on the anthem thing. If it wasn't this, I don't think this would be that big a news in sports.
He was a star before the kneeling of the anthem.
Huge star.
One of the biggest young stars in the game. On the cover of ESPN magazine, on the cover of Sports Illustrated, doing commercials with Russell Wilson and big social media profile. He was a big star in the league.
One play away from winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a non-story that he gets another starting
chance. It would be nearly, not even close to the story it is now.
I agree with you, man. Well, that's a whole nother dynamic to this whole thing because it's already an interesting situation. But the NFL kind of likes to steer away from controversial subjects, you know. And do you think he's going to get, like, questionable treatment during his free agency? Is that going to affect his free agency with
a lot of teams don't want to deal with the extra attention it's going to receive, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, well, sometimes you just want a lower profile guy. So one of the facts around the league is there are a ton of guys protesting now. Like, there's guys on almost every team protesting during the national anthem.
There's, like, seven teams that are happening, yeah.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Okay.
But either way, yeah, it is a big deal in that sense. And this protest is a lot of things. I don't want to get too much into that, but...
Well, he's kind of the ringleader, and the big media face for the whole thing.
Well, he is the face. He started it.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So when somebody on the Jets does it who's a defensive back, it's not as big a deal. But when Colin Kaepernick, the guy who has been who is a household name, is out there doing it, it's a bigger thing, and maybe it's a distraction for his future. Like, if maybe that affects his free agency option.
I think 100% affects. I don't think it's even a question. So, I think it's 100%. Most teams don't want to deal with that extra attention and extra media coverage and all these other factors. They're not going to disagree with it. They're not going to say anything like that. They just don't want to take on that burden.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. If he can...
We'll see if he can resurrect it. I mean, he was at the top of his game at one point. He looked like the next NFL superstar.
He did.
He had the second best quarterback rating his first year when he took over after that Monday Night Football game against the Bears. Took over for Alex Smith. From that rest of that season, second best quarterback rating in the game behind Peyton Manning.
He was on the same page as guys like Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton. Colin Kaepernick was right there with them.
You know what?
As guys that
I got a player for you. That was extremely similar to Kaepernick, Robert Griffin.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that.
They're almost exact same in a lot of ways. Just Kaepernick had more success.
He had considerably more success and less injuries. Like Robert Griffin, you point to it and you say, obviously, he can't stay on the field. So what do you think this does for the 49ers offense? Does it open them up at all? Big playability? Does Torrey Smith become more of a weapon?
He's a better long ball thrower, so he could.
Yeah, he's got a hell of an arm. Yeah,
he could. It could factor in Torrey. I don't think Torrey Smith's that good a receiver. Honestly, don't. Torrey Smith is a one hit wonder. You know what the one hit is? A deep pass. Other than that, he has like two other routes in his route tree.
Okay, so he's not. So he doesn't have strong receiving moves.
No. I just think the 49ers overpaid for him like crazy. Maybe put him on the Steelers as the number two receiver like freaking Coates is right now and try to run down straight on the field. But other than that, for the 49ers, he is not a number one receiver. And I just don't think it's going to make that much difference in this offense. I think Buffalo is still going to completely manhandle this game, honestly.
Okay. The Buffalo defense looks pretty good, pretty damn strong. It'll be an interesting game
to
watch.
Highest priced defense on DraftKings this week.
Yeah, they're going against the 31st offense, and they're pretty damn good. And Kaepernick has been a little interception prone in his life. And either way, at least it makes it at least. If I was a 49ers fan, I'd be excited to because at least I want to watch the game now.
Yeah,
right. You want at least want to see what Kaepernick is going to be able to do, right?
Oh, of course. This brings a lot of intrigue. A lot of intrigue.
Yeah, that Gabbard just wasn't supplying, to be honest with you.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the next subject that we want to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about our boy that we talk about frequently, Dak Prescott. Lighting up the NFL, man.
Straight killing it. Yeah. When is this guy going to have a bad game?
So this is what the Cincinnati defensive coordinator and scouts say. That they scouted, watched all of his game tape for the whole season. And so far, he hasn't had a single bad throw on the whole season.
I think that's full of shit. There's no way that's true. In my opinion, that just seems ridiculous. I've seen him have overthrows and stuff that way. But maybe that's true. Either way, it's still high praise.
That's what they said. I mean, I didn't watch all the throws. They're probably on YouTube.
Hasn't thrown a freaking interception yet this entire season. This entire season, he hasn't thrown an interception.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
Can I tell you something?
Can
I tell you something?
What's that?
I think this whole narrative is about to change. they're going to book, like, Santa Claus isn't real, and they're going to find out that whatever is going on. There's been a lot of things working in Dak Prescott's favor to this point in the season.
A ton of things.
Okay, number one thing. The rushing game. The rushing game has been solid as hell, right? Number one rushing game in the league.
You think that's going away?
They're about to play on the road against the number one rushing defense in the league. Serious guys, right? Okay?
Correct, but I'm going to argue with you completely on that just because they have the best offensive line in football.
They're playing against a great defensive line, man. I don't know. Does fire always beat water?
Beats fire.
No, it doesn't. Not if I got a forest fire and you got a cup of water. You know what I mean? It's going to be a battle.
All right,
Julius Peppers is...
Over, under. Ezekiel Elliott, 80 rushing yards this weekend.
That's going to be the narrative of the game, is if Ezekiel...
Over, under.
I'm saying under. I think Green Bay is going to be able to tone down this Dallas offense. So say Green Bay, you're going into Green Bay. You're relying on this rushing game, but you're playing against the number one rushing defense in the league. Okay. Correct. Second thing that's been working in Dak Prescott's favor, he's usually been playing with a lead.
Correct.
The entire season. You're going against an explosive offense, right? So now all of a sudden you're in a situation where he might not be able to rely on his rushing game, and he's going to have to be forced to make plays and make conversions on long third down situations potentially, right? It's two things that he's unfamiliar with. I just don't see it working well in his favor.
So I have two points. I disagree with your first point on that running game because I think they're the best offensive line in football, so I think that can mitigate a lot of those things. The second thing I completely agree with you on, he's had played with the lead a lot, but I'm going to spin it a different way. I'm intrigued by that. I think this will be his opportunity to open up that playbook. Let's see them be forced to spread the ball out and actually throw the ball downfield. Prescott's doing a lot of dink and dunk passes over and over.
That's where his success has been. He's not throwing interceptions on 5-yard passes.
But we can't sit here and scrutinize him for it when he's winning. He's thrown 155 passes in this league already. Zero interceptions. 155 pass attempts. Zero interceptions.
I think
most in NFL history.
Damn impressive. Damn
but
impressive.
I just think... So I'm not going to sit here and scrutinize him. Oh, well, he's not throwing the ball downfield. Well, he hasn't had to. So this excites me this week to see, oh, well, maybe he has to. Let's see what he can do.
Yes.
Without Dez Bryant, right. Dez Bryant most likely is not going to play again.
I see that. Yeah, Dez Bryant most likely is not going to play again. So like I said earlier, I think it's going to be a narrative. I think the Ezekiel 80 rushing yards, I think if they are able to establish the rushing game, good chance that the Dak Prescott train continues. I think if they're not able, if Green Bay is able to shut down the rushing game and hold them to like under 3 yards a carry or something, like right now Green Bay is holding the NFL defense, is holding teams to under 2 yards per carry.
Correct.
All right. If they're able to keep up that type of defense against the Dallas Cowboys, I think it spells bad time for Dak Prescott because he's going to have to make long throws and that interception streak is going to end.
I agree. I would agree on that, but 2 yards a carry is ridiculous for that offense.
Should be. It's an interesting game to see.
It's just fun. It's number one rusher in the NFL versus number one defense. It's fun.
Yeah, and then you got the whole – and then where does that Dak Prescott story fall? Like, if he goes through that – if that seems like the ultimate test, because the Green Bay Packers, everyone knows they're a hell of a team, and beating them on the road is tough.
Extremely, yeah.
And I don't understand how you could possibly go back to Tony Romo if he comes out of that victorious. I'm like,
well, I think we should get into this Tony Romo thing in the next week when we get a little more clarity after this week.
I'm sure
and
the narrative
Romo
is going to keep continuing. So
it's going to continue every week. When Romo, they're saying is pretty damn healed, but they're not going to return until after the bye week.
Well, they want to get his core strength back.
Correct. Like, but his vertebrae is healed.
Yeah. Apparently the MRI came back. He's healed. But you want to get his core strength back so that he could start. You don't want to throw him out there all week and have him get hurt again on his first hit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you want to strengthen him up. Let's move on. You had some pretty interesting statistics about the San Diego Chargers.
Okay, so the first is... Just to talk about this real quick because we're running kind of long here. the Chargers this season have had absolutely the worst, I'm going to say partial luck and brain lapses and dumb crap happened to them in a season that I can remember. The Chargers now have only won one game. Mm-hmm. They're 1-4.
1-4.
They have lost Keenan Allen, starting receiver. Danny Woodhead, a huge part of that offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Manti Te'o, starting middle linebacker. They've lost so many key players to that team. Gates has been out a couple of years. So injury bug has riddled them. Every week they've had a player go to IR, season-ending IR, starter. Just brittle. However, the way they're losing is what makes it so much worse. So much worse. So look at these stats. Week one against the Colts. The Chargers, at one point in that game, according to Vegas, all these stats are by Vegas, had a 99.7% chance to win the game. Against the Chiefs. Sorry, not the Colts. The Chiefs. 99.7%. They had a 21-point lead going into the fourth quarter. 99.7% chance to win. And they blew that game. Week three against the Colts. At one point, they had an 82% chance to win that game. What do? They blow it. 17 points scored late by the Colts. It's just mind-boggling, right? A 63-yard touchdown you give up with a minute left. Against the Saints, week four, when Travis Benjamin just fumbles when nobody touches him. 98.6% chance to win. Like, these are insane numbers. This never happens, this stuff in sports right now.
99.7%.
That one was 98. Yeah. Then last week against the Raiders, they fumble a freaking field goal snap. At one point in that game, at the end of the third quarter, they had a 76% chance of winning that game. At going into this Chargers game, they've led every game this year in the final 2 minutes of the game. Every game.
What?
They've led every game going into the fourth quarter this year. They're 1-4. It's just unbelievable, these Chargers, of what's going on. And all of it is not even Philip. No, I don't even think any of it's Philip Rivers' fault hardly. Phillip Rivers is playing out of his mind so far this year.
He's playing great, man. Yeah, he's
with
and his number one, like, most talented wide receiver went down, and he's still playing. His best receiving running back goes down. Yeah,
Arguably two best weapons on offense are down, and you have Travis Benjamin and this brand new receiver Williams,
Tyrell Williams, Dontrell Inman, Melvin Gordon, who was a big disappointment last year. All Phillip Rivers is kind of like picking this team up by the bootstraps.
He's been great.
Yeah.
I told you the most underrated player of this decade, arguably. But it just I just want to shed some light on these. These are crazy stats that never, ever happen in sports. To the same team. 5 times. What the hell?
Who do they have? Do you know?
Play the Broncos tomorrow night. Ooh, Thursday night football. Oof.
You never want to play the Broncos.
I still think I'm almost tempted to call an upset here. I'm almost tempted to say the Chargers are going to win this game.
Yeah? What's the line?
Even though Simeon's back.
Would you put money on it? Simeon Toast Crunch, that's the...
Simeon Toast Crunch, where'd you hear that from?
Some internet article talking about someone at NFL fantasy team name. I don't know, pretty funny, Simeon Toast Crunch. Well, so, I don't know, dude, I feel like if I had a feeling like the San Diego Chargers are going to upset the Denver Broncos...
I mean, it's a really close line, it's only a 3-point line.
Oh, really?
And Denver's on the road.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not like a huge upset.
I feel like the country, if, like, on those weekly pick-em things, I feel like 90% of people are going to pick the Broncos.
I agree. Because the Broncos are 4, because they lost, and just look at the record.
Seems like there should be a better line.
All they'll do is look at the record. Broncos, 4-1. Chargers, 1-4.
And the Broncos are the Super Bowl defending champions.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on.
Their defense is the most respected defense in the league.
Their defense is great, and it makes me nervous against those subpar. Well, not subpar. Benjamin's a pretty good receiver. Williams is an athletic freak, but
those edge pass rushers, man.
Well, Ware's still out. Ware's still injured.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, but Von Miller's an animal. But what scares me more is Chris Harris and Aqib Talib on the corners against those receivers.
Serious, dude.
That's nerve wracking.
You don't think those receivers are good? I feel like they got pretty good balance at the receiver position.
San Diego?
Yeah.
Compared to most NFL teams, I don't.
Oh, really?
No. Okay. I'll take Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders on the other side of the field any day.
Yeah, those receivers are great. You put Phillip Rivers on the Denver Broncos, all of a sudden they got the best offense and the best defense.
they'd be great.
That's a whole nother story. All right, Matt, let's just go real quickly through our weekly fantasy favorite players. We're not gonna get too into this. I'm gonna make a case for a guy that I really like. You're gonna make a case for a guy that you really like.
One guy.
Pick your favorite.
Ooh,
guy.
That's a lot of things. So we're talking about DraftKings.
I'm gonna go ahead with my
Are we
guy.
Going value? or are we going just overall? He thinks
must play person that you think you would plug into. Like, who's going to be the guy that you're plugging into the most of your lineups because you know it's going to help you win?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Right. Well, let's not.
Mine's not going to be obvious, but okay, I got it.
That's fine. Mine is going to be Terrence West for the Baltimore Ravens. He's had a couple big games in a row. He's taken over the lead running back position. The offensive coordinator just got fired because the head coach has come out saying like they want to go more run heavy on the team. Terrence West has looked great. I can't remember who
two things scary. They play the Giants. Giants have a pretty decent run defense.
The Giants just got run over 2 weeks in a row by Jerick McKinnon and Eddie
Lacy when he was in the game.
Yeah, Lacy was doing good. Jerick McKinnon did good the week before that.
Correct.
I see it as a mismatch. I see it as a guy that's probably not going to be highly played, that it has a high potential.
I agree on that. Highly played. The only thing that makes you nervous about Terrence West, he doesn't catch passes.
That's a good point, yeah.
In DraftKings, full point PPR, 4 receptions makes a world of difference. So that's the only thing that makes me a little
huge
nervous.
Huge deal.
A little nervous.
Huge deal, but I'm expecting
this. I don't have much problems with it at all. Because he's going to be cheap. My guy, not cheap.
Okay.
But I just think the matchup is insane for what he's even going at. Mine's LeSean McCoy. He's 6,900 on DraftKings. But if you've watched the Niners the last 2 weeks against the run, it's embarrassing. No Navarro Bowman. Ever since Navarro Bowman got hurt, their run defense has been
atrocious.
Awful. Like, so bad. David Johnson had 150 yards and 2 touchdowns against them last week. Ezekiel Elliott, the week before that, 150 yards and a touchdown. LeSean McCoy is going to go off.
LeSean McCoy's been playing
and he's out of his mind.
Yeah, he's playing. He's got like 150 yards against the Rams. The last couple.
No, he's been going off. And the difference is, I think he's going to have 4 or 5 receptions too. I think he's going to be huge numbers. I think him and Le'Veon Bell are my 1 and 2 running backs this week.
Big time.
Murray is a close.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell is almost like a must play, whatever price. You gotta play.
He's
that
playing
guy.
The Dolphins this week too.
He's like the best wide receiver in the league and the best running back or something. He's scoring like 25 points a game. When your running back is getting 100 rushing yards and 9 receptions in a PPR league, what are you gonna do? You gotta play that.
Well, this week is really interesting in DraftKings because the running backs, there are so many good matchups. All the top running backs have insane matchups. Like, yeah. DeMarco Murray against Cleveland. DeMarco Murray is arguably the best running back in fantasy so far this year.
Yeah.
It's hard not to play him, but he's expensive. He's 7,700. It's expensive. But then you have LeSean McCoy. And then you have Le'Veon Bell. Then you have Lamar Miller against the Colts defense, who's awful.
Woo!
I mean, there's so many studs. They were talking about the studs that have just great matchups. So DraftKings is interesting. But one thing about that is that you can't start all these guys in the same team. So the thing with that could be interesting is that on your big tournaments, who is the number one owned player out of all those players? You know what I mean? So like, is 80% of people going to have Le'Veon Bell, so you pick the 20% that has McCoy or the 20% that has Lamar Miller? You know what I mean? It's just to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting. It's fun to play, but yeah, man, normally you don't get one position as stacked as you have them this week as far as, like, studs playing in great matchups.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, I believe it's that time. Get a little rhythm
like
now.
Like that?
Yeah. A little rhythm.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, Ryan.
Kick it off,
here we
kick
go.
It off.
I just want to shine a little light on what's happening in the UFC right now. Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey
just got announced for December 30th. She's going to be fighting for the title. This comes after over a year off since she was upset by Holly Holm, and she hasn't had a single fight. And there's been some controversy there. As far as, like, people saying, like, hey, you can't just give the title to Ronda. But honestly, Ronda Rousey has done so much for women's sports in general, but especially women in MMA. And she's the most dominant champion of all time. She's only got one loss on her career. And I don't feel bad. I'm excited for her to re-enter the game, and I'm expecting big things. I'm expecting her to come out with a victory.
Who is that loss to?
Holly Holm.
Holly
Holm. Big time, man.
Another Mexico.
Big time Albuquerque shout out.
Boom, boom, boom. All right, Bob. My rapid right is going to be a fresh one. This is just from tonight. The NHL season kicked off. on this podcast, we're not going to talk about NHL very much because me and Bob really don't know that much about NHL. You guys don't want to hear us talk about NHL. However, the number one overall pick last year, Austin Matthews, made his NHL debut for the Maple Leafs. You know, you don't have high expectations for these things. What does this guy do? He has four goals. Four goals in his first career game.
It's freaking, Christ, dude, he's a teenager.
He's 19.
He was born in 1997.
97? What the hell? He had four goals in a professional hockey game.
I was already playing PlayStation. NHL Live.
I was going over to your house to play PlayStation.
Yeah. This is nuts.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy.
Four goals.
He's the first player ever, obviously, to do something like this. And
that's quite the start.
It's just mind-boggling. Like, all these things. And how he does that and the pace he was doing it. He's on pace right now to break Wayne Gretzky's NHL record in February of 2019. So hold your breath, fellas.
Are you kidding me? Right now he's on pace to break every record that ever existed.
I know, that was supposed to be a joke. Yeah. It was supposed to be a joke.
Oh, I get you. But
you didn't really.
I'm surprised it would take him until 2019.
That just shows how good Gretzky is. That shows how good Gretzky is.
Yeah, I mean, Gretzky's the man. Who knows? Maybe we're looking at an all-time great here. I don't know too much about hockey.
But, I don't call all-time great yet, but holy shit, that's impressive.
What am I supposed to do? Like not Dak Prescott? Not you're give in the this freaking, guy praise after yeah. Dak Prescott
is in the toilet compared to this guy.
Yeah, he gets praised for dinking and dunking. Nobody scores four goals in hockey in one game. He's made his first three shots. It's impossible.
Austin Matthews is dinking and dunking Prescott's head in the toilet with his numbers.
Dunking his head in the toilet. I like that. I like that. Hey, you. Been a ton of fun. Thanks for coming back and checking out the Riot week after week. We always encourage you to hit us up. We enjoy the support and the questions and all the love that we get from you guys on social media. Want to give a shout out to Lobo Lair, providing us with a lot of great information. If you're enjoying the Lobo Talk, I encourage you to check out their website.
Also, a shout out to the other fellow podcast, We Drink and We Know Things. Download them on iTunes. Really, really good, funny podcast they have. They
is cool.
Drink yeah. during the podcast, and they think they know some things.
And they talk about
fantasy football
television shows, and now they're getting into fantasy sports. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, they started with Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love Game of Thrones. So yeah, I mean, if you're into podcasts, you got time to check them out. These guys are funny. They drink a little bit more than we do, but it's all good. And
hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Twitter, Rametown Riot. And email us any questions you have. We've had some fan replies, and we will get to them next week, hopefully. Hit RameTownRiot@gmail.com.